time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you again for joining us on this Friday session of Abounding Grace. We're continuing in our study of Luke chapter 17, and I again quote to you something that Charles Spurgeon said that really is so pertinent and so relevant when we look at a passage like Luke 17, and these 10 lepers were cleansed and only one returned to the Lord. Spurgeon said, "So you will go to church, you will go to chapel, you will read a book, you will perform an outward religious action. External religious exercises are easy enough and common enough, but the internal matter, the drawing out of the heart in thankful love, how scarce a thing it is." He's so right. I fear at Christianity today we have a house full of people on the inside who cry out, "Lord, have mercy on us," who go to the priest, so to speak, who gather week after week, but have something vitally missing on the outside. They're just told that if they say this prayer, if they do this thing, if they walk this aisle, if they do this act, they'll be healed of their sickness, but something's still missing. See, the text presents to us there was one out of 10 who could not go to the priest. We read that when he saw that he was healed, he did what? He returned. He looks at his body and it's now whole, and there's one thing that penetrates his heart. He can't go in another direction. And this is where the rubber really meets the road. That is what is so gloriously presented here today. The emphasis is on one. He left those whom he had been drawn to in misery, and he came back to the one who could actually pardon him. He would not go to lesser high priest, but he went to the high priest. Jesus had said, "Go to the priests," and the priests would have declared whether they were clean or unclean, and it was a test. Why should this man go to lesser priests when the high priest, the one who could actually cleanse him through his own blood, could do it right there? The only one who had the ability to actually make him clean through his blood. Why leave the Lord of life? Why would he leave the one who would do such a thing? This high priest had the ability. This high priest, by the virtue of his command, actually purified. And see, that is what this text presents to us here today. True saving faith always responds with, "Let me be with my Lord. Let me return to him. Why would I go elsewhere?" Oh, as one pastor has said, many sin together, many will go to hell together. But when you come to Christ, it is alone. You cannot be kept back by those who are cold to him. You cannot be kept back by those who are disobedient to him. Even your loved ones, even those who are closest to you, who will take up his name but not walk in his ways, you cannot be kept back by those who cry out to the Lord but live like the world, even if it be in our families, even if it be a husband or a wife. See, they left, these nine, but this one went back alone. How many around him call to Jesus? Those who will go after him with a mindless, cold religion, with the outward form, but it's not enough. You must press on to your Redeemer, High Priest. You cannot be satisfied simply to go to the priest, to go to the duties of the Christian religion without Jesus. It's all for nothing. And what does such a saving faith look like? Those grafted into him have a burning desire to do what? What does this text present to us? Well, if you read verse 15 and 16 carefully, what do we find? "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God," and did what? "Fell down at his feet, giving him thanks." He had a burning desire inside of him, one thing he could not keep in, one fire he could not put out. His only response to such deliverance was to fall at Jesus' feet and glorify him in worship. While his friends were content with doing the outward form, he could do nothing else other than come back to his Lord and worship. For what is all of this? What are all the acts of religion that we go through without true repentance and true faith that leans on Jesus and believes in him in the mind and in the heart? What is all of our singing? What is all of our coming to worship? What is partaking of the sacraments if it's not done in true faith? True faith looks beyond the element to the reality. It looks beyond the bread to Christ's body. It looks beyond the wine to his blood. It hears the word as the word of Christ. The substance of all of this is much more than just outward signs. Earthly high priests point to the eternal high priest who, by the power of an indestructible life, is able to deliver the soul. And you must come to this high priest himself and fall at his feet in worship. Notice the zeal. It was an immediate return here. Notice the intensity. He cries out to the Lord and with a loud voice, for what end? So that glory would be given to God. That is whom he had approached. Notice the love for his Savior and the humility before his deliverer. He fell down on his face at his feet. Is there anything more beautiful than what's pictured here in Luke chapter 17? You see, the actions of this man tell us that he knew he needed something far more. Now hear this. He knew he needed something far more than mere physical healing. He needed something far more than mere temporal benefits. He was dependent upon this Jesus of more than merely his physical. His leprosy pointed to his spiritual condition. We are the first to cry out on deliverance for our physical and bodily trials, but we are too prone to forget about the healing that our souls need of all of our sin and impurity that is there. We cry out to Jesus, heal this and fix this, but are we really concerned with that which is most important? The forgiveness of our sins? His leprosy pointed to his corruption of his heart and his sin as being barred from the presence of God. And realizing all of this, we have pictured in this man an understanding that now he has access through Jesus to be healed of the very thing his leprosy pointed to, his sin. He needed this Jesus. Jesus had something far more. He needed more than just physical cleansing. He needed the washing of his heart. Because out of the heart, Jesus said, proceeds all sorts of evils. He needed Jesus to declare him whole, not only on his outside, but on his inside. You see, true faith looks like something. It clings to the Lord. It clings to be in his presence. It receives this Jesus. It's the arm of faith that it's instrumental. It embraces the one who is able to restore the soul again and makes one new. It cries out, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It looks to the fountain, the only fountain of life, and it continues to drink from that fountain. I wish that this sort of devotion and gratitude would be stirred up in all of us more and more. We come to his house with little fervency, little zeal, acting as if this is just mere ritual. For some reason, a great many of us don't see the real necessity to worship the Lord in the Spirit and in truth. Are we of those nine who take from him, who go through the rituals to be healed, to have earthly benefits and blessings, like these faith healers today promise, but are completely bereft of the most important thing? Jesus. I'm terribly moved by Jesus' words in verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Do you hear the words of our Savior? Where are your close companions? Where are those whom you dwelled with? Where have they gone? Were not 10 healed? Were not 10 before me? Where are the other 9? Can you hear these words ringing right out of the beginning at the fall of Adam? Adam, where are you? And here Jesus says, where are the other 9? There's silence on the other end from the man. There's no reply. Where are the other 9? Isn't that something that even Jesus Christ in his ministry, of these 10, had only one come back and worship him and praise and adore him? What a sad picture here to hear Jesus himself say, where are the other 9? And my friends, if it happened to Jesus, it will happen in the church. We must learn from an account of this. Ingratitude is the beginning of all apostasy. You see, Christians, the many things that go on and the many things that we receive temporally, God sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Many things that we receive in this valley of the shadow of death should tell us of our need for the greatest gift, the restoring and the washing of our souls that Christ's blood alone can bring. How many have come to Jesus for his ability to give them things? Somehow think that they've met his good graces by going through a ritual. Very few return to him and fall at his feet, learning only upon him and leaning only upon him for inward washing. Inward washing. You see, this figure presents to us what true faith looks like. It embraces Christ at complete recumbency, that is leaning, complete trust that he alone is true God and true man, is able to wash and cleanse us through his blood. That is how Jesus responds. He said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole." Now you may go to the priests and receive your certificate of cleansing because you have first come back to me. Notice the emphasis on whole, not merely in body, but in body and soul. This is saving faith. This is what saving faith looks like. We can go down the path of life doing the cold duties of our religion to receive earthly benefits, sitting here week after week. But if you've not returned to the Lord alone, as a child of Adam, not returned to Christ, the second Adam, letting your heart fall before him with such words and actions so as to bow before him and worship him, then you are lost. Only one returned. Only those will be saved who by true faith have been grafted into Christ to accept all of his blessings. Are you one of those who has been saved with such true faith? Look at this man. Look at the other nine. Where do you fall? Where are the other nine? Asked Jesus. Have you approached this Jesus today? May this day you turn to him for the inward cleansing you need and come to have a life of response that cries out with a loud voice, glorifying God and continually falling at his feet, the feet of this great high priest, the only high priest, who is able with the power of his indestructible life to cleanse you from all of your sin. If you don't believe in Jesus today, you are walking around groping without any hope, seeking to heal yourself of all of this world's miseries, but without any true cleansing. You must come to Jesus. And if you have come to Jesus today and believed in him, then fall at his feet. Fall at the feet of this high priest, face down, forever giving him thanks for the cleansing that his blood brings and the washing away of all of your soul's impurity.
And with that, we come to the end of our time today here on Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden with our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon. If you have questions, comments, maybe a prayer request, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a couple of thoughts in your mind you just can't get away from and you'd like someone to talk with, feel free to call or write to us. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429, or stop by our website, lindenurc.com, and drop us an email. While you're there, pay us a visit and check the website out. We've got a lot of information about who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at United Reformed Church of Linden. Again, that's lindenurc.com. If you're writing to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is the zip code. And again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. If you would like to join us for worship, we do meet at 8650 Benson Road, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays. We'd love to have you join us. In fact, if you do, would you let one of the ushers know you were invited by the radio broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. And then we trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.